Yes, I'd like to talk a little bit about what is happening in the world, in the church, in light of biblical prophecy. And from time to time, it's very good to get the right kind of a focus, because within the day-to-day affairs, we sometimes may lose sight of some very important issues. But before we go into some of the world events, I'd like to take a few moments to talk about church events, starting with prayer requests and prayer updates, most of which we have sent out during this week. But here's the first one, prayer request for Terry Great of the Oregon congregation, of course, a longtime deacon. And it was discovered after several tests that he has a heart blockage, which is unfortunately a critical one. So critical that the doctor said it cannot be healed. So they are going to have another examination, and I believe it's going to be this Wednesday, and depending on what comes out, the heart pacemaker would have to be implanted. He is asked not to do any physical activities, no driving, no running, no mowing the lawn. And of course, an anointed clause has been sent to him. So we'd ask you to pray for his speedy recovery, for God's complete healing. Of course, that brings me to the next one, and that is Bob Burke. He also has been diagnosed as needing a pacemaker. So he was anointed, and again, is asking for God's intervention, hoping that God will heal him so that he doesn't have to have this procedure. I believe Terry Great feels the same way, but we are leaving this to God. I know I told him yesterday, Terry Great, that is, my dad had a heart pacemaker for many, many years, and actually it stopped working, and nobody even noticed it. And for many years it had stopped working, and so he was still doing fine. Now also, which is interesting, Phyllis Burke told us that she had been discharged from the hospital, and she's enjoying continued recovery at home. Now she had requested an anointed cloth for healing of her anemia, but the cloth hadn't arrived. Well, she requested it Saturday, it was sent out right away, but of course we had the 4th of July in the meantime. And so she was already doing much better and was released from the hospital before the cloth arrived. And that brings me to a very important principle. As we have always said, when you are sick and you request an anointed cloth, that's all your responsibility. And in many cases, God heals you before even the cloth arrives. We have seen this so many, many times. So don't think that, oh, because the cloth hasn't arrived yet, therefore God wouldn't heal me ahead of time. That is not true at all. In many cases, God would already intervene at the moment you ask for the cloth, or when the cloth is being prepared, or when the cloth is being sent out, but before it arrives. But of course, you still got to go through the procedure. Once you receive the cloth, you still got to go through it. So don't neglect that part of it. We got an update from Barbara Jones. First of all, another prayer request, this time for Joe. He wasn't feeling good at all. We got this yesterday. And he was running a temperature, and his back is really bad. And prayers for strength and health and improvement would be appreciated. But I also like to read to you, because we had a prayer request for Christina, a relative of Barbara Jones, and we got the most unbelievable write-up about her, which I'd like to read to you just to show you how sophisticated our healthcare system is in the United States of America. When Christina left last week, talking about the hospital there, they only gave her a prescription for 40 morphine tablets, and they lowered the dosage for 2 pills 4 times per day to 1 pill 4 times per day. The pharmacy only gave her 30 tablets because her insurance would not pay for more than 30 per 90 days. And they won't let us purchase with cash the other 10 tablets that were supposed to be part of the prescription. We were off and on the phone all day with a caseworker trying to get a new prescription so that we can just purchase what's needed outright, and we were finally told that the doctors won't write a new prescription because then that would make them her primary care physician, and they don't want or can't do that. At one point, we were told that Christina should go to urgent care so she wouldn't run out. Now, the urgent care clinic said that they don't take Medi-Cal and they won't write prescriptions for fast-acting morphine, which is the only type Christina can take due to her weight loss surgery. So last night, Christina had to go to the emergency room so that she could get some pain assistance. They would not prescribe the morphine either, so they gave her something else, enough to last her until a doctor's appointment on Monday. She was up most of the night last night in pain, sharp nerve pain from her surgeries. Just an example. Just an example to show you how incredibly stupid our healthcare system is. Rhonda Kegel is asking for our prayers. Now, we have given a prayer update or a prayer request this week, but I just talked to her this morning and she is still in pain. And of course, she was in pain quite a bit during the week. And so let's keep all praying to God for complete healing and that He would take the pain away from her. You all, those of you who have been in Germany, remember Per and Sylvia Hofbrender, the couple from Sweden. And of course, Per Hofbrender had been diagnosed with cancer and they are treating him as best as they can, I suppose, but it's not apparently getting much better. And Sylvia, of course, is asking for God's intervention because she would love to come to Templin for the feast. But the way it looks right now, that wouldn't be possible. And so again, let's keep them in our prayers as well. That's Per, P-E-R, and Sylvia Hofbrender, H-O-V-B-R-E-N-D-E-R. Dawn Thompson is asking for our prayers as well. She is hoping to be able to move to San Diego, finding a job down here. And so at this point, apparently nothing has materialized yet, but she's not giving up hope. So again, if that's what God's will is, let's keep praying that God would help her in that regard, because I got some good news regarding Monika Stratila. You might remember her from Germany, those who were there. And she has been looking for a job for quite a while, and now she got it. She was just telling me this morning that she got a new job, and it was real fast now, and within 2 weeks she got to actually move. And it's going to be close to Leipzig, which is former part of East Germany, but it's not too bad because there are other church members there. So she would be able actually to meet with some of them from time to time. But so she's very thankful, and it looks like it's a very good job she got. And so she's going to sign a contract this week. And so, again, this is something where God has actually answered prayers in a very good way. I believe that's all the prayer requests I have. I'd like to turn now to the update, 743. And I like to go backwards, meaning from the back to the front. First thing I want to mention to you is the, and I have all kinds of notes here, makes it a little bit difficult, the work section. Well, first there's an address change for the church in England, and so we list that address change in case you want to write them. You have to use that new address, otherwise they won't get your letter. We have a new standing watch program out titled FBI's Recommendation in Clinton's Scandal Suggests Corrupt and Rigged System. That's a title, long title. And it goes quite a bit into what happens this week with the absolute incredible email scandal pertaining to Hillary Clinton, pertaining to Bill Clinton, pertaining to the FBI, pertaining to the Justice Department, pertaining to the President, and pertaining to what else you might want to include here. So I don't want to go into that standing watch program that much. I hope that you have watched it. If you haven't, you really should, because it gives you a flavor as to what kind of a country we are living in. And it gives you a flavor as to why God is so angry, absolutely angry, with the United States of America. Just one example, but it's a telling one. We have a new German sermon out, Ehrlich wird am längsten. The English translation would be something like honesty endures the longest, but Ehrlich wird am längsten is actually a German proverb. And it goes again into business dealings, and you can do it in an honest way, and you can, of course, do it in a dishonest way. And so we look into scriptures there to show what the Bible has to say about that. The sermonette from last week, Other People, by Dave Harris, was posted, and also the sermon by Rob Harris last week, The Forerunner to Destruction, was posted as well. Now, I want to take a few moments, because in the past we would sometimes publish statistics, we would publish perhaps some results and comments we would be getting from people watching us. But if we were to do this now, the update, which was only 24 pages long this time, would probably be 50 pages, and I'm not kidding, because we're getting so many. And the fact that we don't always talk about it doesn't mean that we don't get them. Now, we are getting a lot more in the German-speaking area, for sure, than we are getting in the English-speaking area. But we are getting some in the English-speaking area as well. I just want to read you one comment we got. It says, "We wait anxiously for Standing Watch and have suggested it to a number of friends. All say the same thing, very informative, and you really do cry out and spare not about preaching the truth. We do not know of anyone else who does it." Goes on to say, "We also greatly appreciate the sermons. It seems that you have a team of dedicated men." Well, in fact, of dedicated men and women, I would add. I mean, the women don't preach in our church. They preach in other churches, even those who claim to be part of the body of Christ. But they don't preach in the Church of the Eternal God. But that doesn't mean that they're not helping quite tremendously when it comes to doing the work. They most certainly do, and we really appreciate that. When it comes to the German work, let me just say that we are not doing any advertisement there whatsoever. The only quote-unquote advertisement we are doing is, when I give a sermon, I might refer to a booklet and say, of course, you know, here we have a booklet on that particular issue. So I talked to Monique Sperzel the other day and said, can you just give me an update on, let's say, just the month of June and just the month of July, what the requests were. So in June, we received about 60 requests for booklets. Now, when I say 60 requests for booklets, that means 60 persons wrote in. And in most cases, they asked for some, asked for all the booklets we have. And of course, our response is, well, we don't send them all, but we send up to three. So many asks for three. And so when you look at the 60, you have to at least multiply that by three. So we send out about 180 booklets in June. We also, by July the 8th, we received 24 requests, but by now several more came in. It's about 30 requests, again, for at least three booklets. And so that would be 90. I'm saying this to show you that the demand for booklets is very high. And we haven't, and this is just for the month of June and partially for the month of July, and we haven't done any advertisement. Now, we are thinking of doing some advertisement in Germany, maybe over Facebook, not knowing whether we can handle it. But when people write me in or write to me and ask for, sometimes they would ask for just a PDF file. And I write them back, specifically the newer ones. I said, I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend we send you a hard copy booklet. The reason is, if you, and I've seen this so many times now, you read it online, you're not getting it all. You just don't get it all. You are reading over it. I know this because people write me after they read the booklet online and said, okay, but my question is such and such. I said, the question is answered. But you obviously didn't see it. Get the booklet, get the hard copy, go over it, mark it, compare it with scripture, then you'll find the answer. And lo and behold, that's what happened. You see, the reason why we are printing booklets is because I know it's better for the people. It helps them a lot more. I personally could not read anything online and get the same kind of success. I need a printed copy in front of me, and I need to be able to mark it. Somebody just wrote me and said, well, I read the booklet online, but frankly, it's not the same thing. Can you get me a hard copy? So these are the kind of things which are happening, and we are, of course, very, very happy about the success story in Germany. And quite frankly, when people ask for the booklets, they give me some explanations like, oh, we have been listening to you for sometimes 2-3 years, never heard of them before. And so it's not like they just learned of us. Some do, but many have been online for quite a while. I just got a letter from somebody who said that he had been in communication with me, which is true, 3, 4, 5 years ago. And then I had not heard anything further from him. And now he wrote and said, oh, in light of Brexit, I can see that you are absolutely true in what you've said. You know, people are waking up more and more. I would have to say when it comes to the United States of America and Great Britain and Canada, they are still sound asleep. The people in these countries are still very much sound asleep. And I don't know what will happen, what has to happen for them to wake up. It's amazing to me when I see the difference. I do a program on Brexit in Germany, the same program I do over here in America, or in the English-speaking world, let's say. And even though the responses over here were not bad, in Germany they are 3-4 times as high. And this is pretty much the general concept. A lot more interest in the German-speaking areas. We are getting requests here in America from people asking for the German booklets. Canada, same thing. Well, God is, and I go into this a little bit later, God is angry about our nations. And there's a reason for that. Partially because our nations are sound asleep and don't care about God. Don't care about the Bible. Don't care about the truth. They're only interested in their own personal pursuits. And that will change. That will change very, very soon. And whether people will wake up, we talked to Mrs. Adair the other night about this, interestingly enough, and I made the point, I'm not sure most will wake up before the Great Tribulation. I'm not sure most will wake up before they are in slavery. Then there might become a realization. I'm not sure that great things will happen in this country anymore before that time occurs. And let me just tell you, that time will occur very, very soon. I'm not giving any dates. I'm not like those who are giving dates and have always been proven wrong. In fact, let me go to the beginning of the update. The editorial written this time with the title, Now is Not the Time. And we say in there that prophetic developments are speeding up. The Brexit, a rigged political system in the United States, Donald Trump's rising popularity, new presidential elections in Austria, attempts to establish the United States of Europe, to create a European army, increasing terrorist attacks and wars all over the world, terrible weather conditions, the spread of immorality, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God in all the world as a witness. The list of significant biblical events seems to be endless. And then we talk in this editorial about prophecy speculation, all of which are wrong, none of which is, in fact, preached in Scripture. Talking about a 7-year treaty, allegedly, which is supposed to happen. And one organization brings that up all the time, the same organization which had proclaimed that Christ would come back in 2016, 2017. And then there's still no 7-year contract, so you figure this one out. Then there are other interesting concepts. They talk about a red heifer which has to occur. They talk about a Mahdi which has to arrive in order to unite Arab nations. None of which the Bible says. None of which. See, in other words, they are looking for the wrong ideas. But at the same time, we have to be careful that we don't fall into the other trap, saying, oh, well, Christ is going to come back soon, and therefore we don't have to do anything anymore. And we say in the update here, in the editorial, as we have preached time and time again, we must live in a way that we are always spiritually ready for Christ's return. At the same time, we ought to live our lives as if we had many more years ahead of us. We remember, perhaps, in the 70s, how people didn't do anything anymore because they were convinced that Christ would come back in 1975. And now we have, what, 2016, right? So anyway, we don't make that mistake. But we are looking at the signs of the time, and the signs of the time show us how terrible the situation is. As I said, in the current events and the standing watch, we talked about the scandal with regarding Hillary Clinton, I made this program before certain further events took place, and I'd just like to give those further events to you, which we are talking about in the update. You know, during the statement by the FBI director in front of the Congress, he was asked whether former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton repudiated her lies to Congress in the past and to the public, whether she repudiated those to the FBI. And then he said, well, I didn't inquire into this, but I will look into that. And he was asked by Congress to provide them with the transcripts. All right, now listen to this. During testimony before Congress on Thursday, FBI Director James Comey stated that the FBI's interview with presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was not under oath or recorded. They don't have any transcripts. Nothing. Which poses a problem, because now they can't at all show whether she lied to the FBI or not, whether she repeated her lies, which she had made to the public, to Congress, or whether, at least when it comes to the FBI, she told the truth. No records. We also say this in the update, because I did watch that discussion in that committee on Thursday. The conduct by most Democratic members of the Congressional House Oversight and Government Reform Committee was appalling. As foreseeable, the hearing was another circus. While determined to exonerate Hillary Clinton and justify her unjustifiable conduct, Democrats tried to launch mean-spirited attacks against Republican members, Republicans in general, and Donald Trump in particular, who wasn't even the subject of the hearing. Most Republican members did an excellent job in establishing a strong case against Clinton, coupled with their expression of dismay as to the FBI's recommendations in spite of all the evidence. And under the law, she was guilty. She at least acted with gross negligence. Now, the statement was made by the FBI that there has been no case where somebody was convicted who only acted with gross negligence. The next update will show that that is false. And there is an editorial which will show that there were cases where somebody was convicted doing exactly the same thing Hillary Clinton did, with gross negligence, not intent. And that was enough for a conviction. So the fix is in. No doubt about it. Absolutely, the whole thing was corrupt and was fixed. And this is what the Standing Watch program talks all about. Now, we have another article about Trump's possible running mates, and it looks more and more like as if, careful, it looks more and more like as if Newt Gingrich is the one. At least most Republicans who are supporting Trump want Newt Gingrich to be the vice president. We have an article in the update on Europe wants its own empire. And we are quoting from the New York Times, saying that Britain's vote to leave the European Union comes as the 28-nation bloc is grappling with more than its usual economic issues, as France and Germany fill the leadership void. You got that? France and Germany are filling the leadership void. They will have an opportunity to pursue a shared goal that Britain had blocked, which is, my words, creating a European army. They say expanding the European Union's integration to include military police, which means creating a European army, exactly what it's prophesied. Now, people are saying outside the church, within certain groups within the church, that because of the Brexit, Europe will fall apart, the EU will fall apart, the Eurozone will fall apart, Eurozone consisting of the members who have adopted the euro, that those nations will then start creating their own currency again, and that then somehow out of this mess, 10 nations or groups of nations will emerge. Now, we have said quite dogmatically from the outset that the EU will not fall apart, that the euro will not fail, that the nations will not go back to their individual currencies, but that there will be a core Europe, in all likelihood consisting out of the euro member states, even though it may not be exactly the ones we have today, and that will be the 10 nations or groups of nations. We have said that, as we have also said there will be a Brexit, and we are saying this with certainty. That's exactly how it's going to happen, not this other nonsense some have been speculating about. I found interesting that the Times wrote on July 9, the pound has replaced the battered Argentine peso as the world's weakest leading currency this year. So what they are saying is after Brexit, the pound went down so drastically, it's now the weakest of all the more stronger currencies in the world. It dropped against the dollar by 13% this last week. It says it's the weakest of 31 leading currencies this year, which shows that as a Brexit was prophesied to happen, the economic downfall of England is also prophesied to happen at the same time, and that's what we are seeing now. Now, England wants to create a safe haven. At least Mr. Osborne, the Chancellor, said that. He wants to save a safe haven so people can, you know, investigate there and they can, you know, put their corporate activities there. And, of course, this will anger the Europeans even more. So most Germans, most French, I believe, most Italians and most Swedish people in a most recent poll have said that England should get absolutely no special treatment whatsoever, no favors. So they are extremely angry with Great Britain. I also read this morning in a actually more like left liberal paper in Germany that, guess what, it was stated there. The Eurozone, according to that paper, will constitute core Europe. Have you heard perhaps somebody saying something like that? I wonder whether the paper has been reading our literature. You see, it's happening for people who have eyes to see, who don't, you know, kind of speculate with every wind of prophetic, quote-unquote, speculation. The Q&A this week talks about what kind of sports, games, and related activities are appropriate and inappropriate for Christians. It's part one. Part two is going to be published this week. It goes a lot into violence. And that brings me, before I go into the Q&A, that brings me to another article I have in front of me, of course, having to do with the terrible murders of five police officers in Dallas. And this actually was published this morning by Daily Mail. It's a British paper. Let me read to you what they say. When Barack Obama was elected president in 2008, many were tempted to think that if his time in the White House achieved nothing else, it would bring blacks, whites, and Hispanics far closer together. But America's tensions focused on a simmering undeclared war between some African Americans and the police have got markedly worse. Now that's their analysis now. The president has been repeatedly criticized for showing too much sympathy for the black men shot by police and not enough for the officers who have died in the line of duty. 3 years ago, he caused outrage in some quarters, euphoria in others, with his emotional reaction to the acquittal of George Zimmerman, a Florida neighborhood watchman who shot dead the unarmed black teenager, Trevon Martin, after an altercation in which Zimmerman says Martin attacked him. This week, he was quick to show sympathy with fellow African Americans, again following the police shootings of Philando Castile in Minnesota and Alton Sterling. Although admitting that investigations into the deaths had only just begun, on Thursday night he pointed the finger of blame at the police. The shootings are not isolated incidents, Obama said, but symptomatic of the racial disparities that appear across the system year after year and the resulting lack of trust that exists between law enforcement and too many of the communities they serve. The U.S. had to admit, he continued, that it had a serious problem with racial bias in the police. Obama had made similarly combative remarks before, but this time they backfired badly. Within 12 hours, five police officers had been killed in Dallas by snipers from a building just a few blocks away from Dealey Plaza, where John F. Kennedy was shot, and Obama had to swiftly roll back on comments that now looked horribly misjudged. He condemned the vicious, calculated, despicable attack on law enforcement, mourning the loss of officers engaged in their sacred duty to protect peaceful protesters. He praised the extraordinary, difficult job performed by U.S. police. Now, this is the most interesting comment. It was a stunning about-turn, but many Americans probably didn't notice. They stopped long ago bothering to listen to Obama, because his genius for soaring rhetoric on race and crime has rarely been matched by concrete achievements. As he heads into the last few months in the White House, after 8 years in which a black presidency has done little to soothe America's racial tensions, Obama's enemies say he has made the problem worse by nakedly taking sides. What I felt interesting was the comment that most Americans have stopped listening to him, because most people in the world have stopped listening to him. You see, Mr. Obama, with all due respect to his office, has become a totally irrelevant figure. It doesn't make any difference whether he exists as a president of America or not. People are looking for an alternative, and of course they seem to find that alternative in Donald Trump. Now, I just want to give a few words of caution here, because some people feel that if Donald Trump becomes the next president, then everything will get much better in the United States. We will have more work, we will have more just about everything, we will be a safer country, and on it goes. Let me just say that if Mr. Trump becomes the next president, it is because God wants him in that position. Why? Because that prophecy will be fulfilled. What prophecy? The prophecy that the relationship between America and the rest of the world will become so bad, that a United States of Europe will attack this country militarily. That's what we have to look at. And based on the comments Mr. Trump has been making, and if he only carries out a portion of which, we can easily see how that could happen. When Mrs. Clinton becomes a president, she will become almost as irrelevant as President Obama. Because who cares, really? But not so with Mr. Trump. So that is where it's interesting. That's where it's extremely important to watch these kind of things. So that is also very clear to us then. We would be insane. Church members would be insane if they would go out to vote. Why would anybody in his right mind, knowing what's going to come, vote at all in the following presidential election? I mean, in my mind, these people would be out of their mind to do so, but unfortunately, many who should know better, who at one time have known better, in other church organizations, will go out and vote, becoming part of this rotten, corrupt Babylonian system when they do. Now, we'll talk about the Q&A. In this Q&A, we are pointing out our long-standing teaching that we cannot resort to violence under no circumstance, even when it comes to self-defense. If we resort to violence thinking that we have to have a gun so that we can use that gun to shoot and kill someone who is going to attack us, we are not following the teaching of the Bible. Christ told Peter, put your sword away, when Peter was about to defend Christ in his mind. He said, because whoever takes a sword will perish by it. And we give many examples here in this Q&A of scenarios. What would happen? What could happen if we resort to violence? And that is important to understand for the next part of this Q&A, because there is sports, which is violent. And so we say later on in this particular part, since most, if not all, sports have the potential of harming another person, should a Christian therefore totally abstain from watching or participating in competitive sports? And the answer is, some have concluded then that God does not approve of any competitive sports, but this conclusion is not necessarily correct. And we explain why that is the case, and that sport can be very good entertainment. It can contribute to our health and relaxation, even when Germany loses in this last soccer game against France. Understand that? And it says they can be exciting, but here's the point. They must never take first place in our lives. That goes for everything. That goes for sports, too. We have to have the right balance. It's not idolatry, as some have suggested, actually. It is not always wrong, but it could be wrong. See, in the next Q&A, the next part, we will try to draw a line between what kind of sports a Christian should avoid and why, and what other sports are no problem if they are being carried out correctly. Now, I have one more thing I wanted to mention before I will sit down. And I had another article which I wanted to quote to you, if I can find it. Here it is. And that is a forum, which was written in this week's update by Noel Link, titled A New Beginning. Now, when I received this forum, the article, for preview, I thought that's one of those articles which are difficult. But since Noel felt that she would be able to do this, I most certainly didn't want to stop it. But it's an extremely honest article. I believe if you haven't read that yet, you absolutely have to read it. It's a must-read article. I want to say this that much. I'm not even going to go into the context of it, because you should read it. And you should read it again. But I do want to congratulate Noel for the bravery with which she wrote this. And we got quite a few comments. I'd like to just read this one from somebody saying, "This is one of the best and most encouraging forums that has been written over the years. It is great to read and know that this miracle has happened. Well written, a great story." And others actually wrote several similar comments. You know, I said earlier, women in our church don't preach. So they don't stand up here and give a sermon, or they, as some have now begun to do, begin to preach in different tongues and, you know, raising their hands in the middle of the service and praying to the Holy Spirit and all this kind of nonsense. Or women get together giving women Bible studies. Equally wrong. Or writing articles, quoting all kinds of scriptures. Equally wrong. Was never allowed under Mr. Armstrong. Only when the liberal era began, then suddenly these things developed. But that doesn't mean that our ladies cannot share their experiences like Noel did in this particular forum. That was a great one. And I encourage every one of our ladies and men to send us their perspectives on certain things when it comes to the forum, because that's why we have it. So I guess I spoke long enough. We are going to continue with what we are doing. We do it as long as God lets us. And I will have to say that I see how God is opening more and more hearts and minds of especially people in the German-speaking areas. The hearts and minds are still pretty much closed when it comes to people in the English-speaking areas. But I have certain ideas as to how we can reach even those, if God lets us. Now, of course, if God has decided, as Mr. Armstrong has felt for a while, even before he died, that The United States of America and Great Britain and Canada had received the witness. Then whatever we can do, we can just continue and hopefully a few will listen. It doesn't look like the vast majority will listen. It doesn't look like that at all. A lot of things will have to happen before Americans, stiff-necked, proud, and self-efficient and God-defying, will wake up. The same goes for Canada. The same goes for England. Now, we are not saying that suddenly the country of Germany will repent. I'm not saying that at all. But more and more people are being called. More and more people are changing their lives. More and more people are going to be with us now for the feasts. And more people are writing us, which poses a problem because we've got to answer all those emails. But I see where God is working. And that cannot be denied.